KUOW 94.9 Seattle. I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Yes, the Washington legislature is trying to fund education and they're debating a carbon tax, but what about the animals? Lawmakers are considering making it a crime to pretend that your pet is a service animal, up to a $250 fine. The lawmakers are reacting to a national trend of pet fakery, culminating last week in the peacock.
I'm not kidding. This woman is wrangling her peacock into the airport. Right now, wrangling a peacock in the airport.
It's emotional support.
Yep. That happens all the time.
What the hell, New York?
Speaking of New York, from the New York Times, columnist David Leonhardt is writing about this in the bigger picture. David, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So you talked about Dexter the peacock and these other fake service animals as a sign of eroding trust. Would you say more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, on some level, this is kind of a fun and light topic. But I think there are a couple serious issues in the particular part of the idea of bringing airplanes on animals on planes in terms of how it affects people with animals and kids and stuff like that, people with allergies. But I also think there's a larger point here, which is we've gotten inured to this idea that thousands and thousands of people are just going to lie. They're going to say this is an emotional support animal when in fact it's just their pet. It's not an emotional support animal. And as more people lie and they say this is my emotional support animal, and maybe they go online and they pay $100 and they have some faraway therapist claim that they have an emotional need that leads for them to have the pet, other people see this and they say, wait a second, if they're lying and benefiting from it, I'm going to lie too, and I'm going to bring my animal on and call my animal an emotional support animal. And I think what that does is, in small ways, is it erodes the notion of trust. And when societies have trust erode, it's just not a good thing. Societies function so much better when people can assume that their fellow citizens are acting in good faith.
David, I'm not done yet deciding whether this is a trend, because selfishness has always been with us. I'm thinking of tax cheats. I'm thinking of steroids, and I could go on. How else have you seen this erosion of trust be a modern thing?
Well, I'm not necessarily suggesting that there's less trust than there has ever been. I think, to me, the bigger issue is that this is a new example of it, right? And so when a new example of it comes up, I don't think we should simply let it go and say, well, it's fine that these people are going to, and as I say in the column, I think the people doing this are overwhelmingly decent people. I don't think we should step back and say, well, it's fine that we now have tens of thousands of people lying about their pets in order to bring them on planes. I think it's important to say, look, this is small bits of cheating. And while to the pet owners, I get why they are saying, well, this is my pet and I love my pet and my pet would never hurt anyone, it actually does exact costs on everyone else. A lot of kids, little kids, do not want to be in small spaces with large animals. And having a pet owner say, my animal won't hurt you, doesn't actually help the little kid. A lot of people have allergies to pets that being next to one in a cramped space isn't good. I was really struck for reporting this column and talking to people who work for the airlines about how unpleasant it's gotten. The number of people who are getting in arguments on planes over animals. This news release that Delta just put out that talked about biting and urinating and defecation by the animals on the planes.
Not your average corporate press release.
Not your average corporate press release. And so as I say in the column, I am well aware this is not the most urgent issue facing the country. But I wish we could get back to a norm of traveling where you didn't have people going on Amazon and buying these emotional support vests for $30 and just deciding that it doesn't really matter if you cheat the system because it benefits you.
Could it be we're getting more selfish because we see ourselves getting the shaft so much, not only from airlines that shrink our seats and charge us fees, but from a country set up in so many ways for the rich and powerful?
I do think airlines have some blame here in this case, in a few different ways. One, they now charge $125 each way to bring a pet in a bag under your seat. That's a lot of money. Two, I know a lot of pet owners feel that the conditions in cargo holds for pets are not safe. If you look at the numbers, not a lot of pets have died, but too many of them have died, several dozen over some number of years. And airlines say, well, the rate is actually, you know, approaching zero, but obviously those stories have real resonance. And as you say, flying is just pretty unpleasant. And I do think the unpleasantness of flying makes people more willing to cheat in order to make it just a little bit less unpleasant.
Well, I know people have always complained about maybe not the cheating, but the selfishness of bringing a baby on an airplane. Do you see, though, I asked you earlier about a trend. I mean, is this of wider significance? Are you concerned about an erosion of our social fabric when people say, well, I'm going to look out for me?
Two things. I am concerned about it. The main reason I'm concerned about it is not this pet. It's instead the other stuff we see and we talk about all the time, right? The nastiness on social media, the idea of people organizing themselves into tribes, and if you decide that someone's not part of your tribe, then you basically decide that they are evil. You said something about babies. I really would put babies in a different category. I mean, I think we're now getting into, you know, kind of ethical questions that everyone has to decide for themselves, but I believe human beings are more important than animals. And I think, you know, I think babies, to me, bringing a baby on a flight is not selfish. People should be able to fly with their babies. Never bothers me if I'm on a flight when a baby's screaming. I mean, it bothers me, but I mainly just feel bad for the parent who has the screaming baby. To me, the idea that we get to the point where, you know, a 150-pound 50-pound dog has the same rights as a 5-pound baby strikes me is an indication that we may have some of our priorities a little off.
As we're speaking, David Leonhardt from the New York Times, someone in Seattle is on social media calling you a horrible person for saying that babies are more important than animals. To your earlier point.
And I'm very comfortable standing on the ground that babies are more important than animals.
Okay. And since we're wringing our hands here, I also want to bring up a column you wrote about your wishes for 2018 recently. And, you know, it included not just some wishes, but some notes of hope. I don't expect you to memorize the column, but I want to talk to you about any optimism you have as you daily, your job is to survey this country.
I appreciate you bringing it up. I'm by nature an optimistic person, and I think it's worth being optimistic when you look at the long history of this country, right? This is a country that, while deeply imperfect, has over time tended to expand rights for nearly every group of people, right? There is more religious freedom and less religious discrimination than there used to be. There is much less bigotry directed toward the LGBT community than there used to be. While racism is a terrible problem in our society, as Barack Obama once said, don't tell me that race relations haven't improved unless you lived it as a black man in this country in the 1950s and 60s. And so I think the long arc of history in this country is toward progress. What's so alarming about the current period is it feels like we're sliding backwards on some of these things. I still retain hope that this period will end up looking more like a pause than the beginning of a new trend. And to me, one reason for that hope is the relatively strong performance of different institutions in the face of attacks from the current president, whether it's the judiciary, whether it's scientists, whether it's the intelligence community, whether it's the media, you name it, lots of institutions have not folded in the face of attacks from the president. And I think that's reason for optimism.
Well, we certainly have our institutional checks and balances. What is new, as you said earlier, is for one thing, social media. What about that counter trend? Where do you think that tribalism is taking this country?
What's interesting when you think about social media and the media is it's important not to overly glamorize the past, right? In the past,
yes,
we basically had a set of media in which a relatively small group of people, nearly all of whom, let's be honest, were white men, were deciding what was in the media, what people were going to read and what they were going to hear. And now we have a much more free and open and small-d democratic media system. And that brings some real challenges, the tribalism that you and I have both mentioned. It creates business challenges for media organizations, particularly local ones. But let's also realize that there are some benefits and that it allows people to participate much more in conversations when they could in the past. So in the past, if I wrote an article about dogs that you thought was horrible, you had to write a letter to the New York Times and hope that it was one of the few that got published. Now, if I write an article about dogs that you don't like, you can put your comments on Facebook and they can circulate among your friends. And there's a version of that that I actually think is much more in keeping with our values as a democratic nation. We just have to figure out ways to guard against, I think, two main things. One is the tribalism, the idea that we don't listen to anyone we disagree with. I think it's really important to listen to people you disagree with, hear their arguments, think about what the problems are with your own argument. And then, two, that we distinguish between things that are clearly false and things that are not. You and I can have a good argument, or I can have a good argument with anyone about whether dogs should be allowed on planes, and that is, we should have that argument. We should disagree. We should not have an argument about whether the Earth is getting warmer, or whether the Pope endorsed Donald Trump, or any number of things that are simple matters of fact. And I think we're still sorting through how to deal with that in the new media environment.
There's some practical optimism amid the peacocks.
Exactly.
And despite the dander. David Leonhardt from the New York Times. I enjoy reading you every day, and thanks for this time. Hope we can do it again.
Thanks for saying that, and I'd love to come back on.